The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, I've got some random bits of information to share with you, as well as some tech tips. That's coming up on this episode 89 of WW Prep to Go. Hello, and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am host Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 89. This episode is going up a little bit later than normal because sometimes life gets in the way, and so I have to make some choices about what I want to do, and so this just got delayed about a day or so. I recently was listening to a comedian who tours and does lots of shows, and he said to his fans, he said, "I love you all, but I love my family more." And I thought, I totally get that. You know, I really like to make podcasts and create blog posts and do stuff on social media, but sometimes family wins. And so we have to make choices to do things with them first. And of course, this was Mother's Day weekend. So my daughter was in town from college, and it's also the third anniversary of the site. And so Saturday night, I had a little gathering at a restaurant and invited some of you to come. And most of the people that came are podcast listeners. So I just wanted to say hello to some of the people that came. They were a lovely, lovely group. There was Denise and Don, two friends who have adorable dogs who are so cute. And then Jennifer and Rachel came with her parents. And Rachel is the planner for their family, and her parents appreciate her efforts, but she's definitely the addict and does a lot of good planning for them. And Alyssa was there, and Richard and his wife. And Richard is the planner in their family, and so it was fun to get to talk planning with him. So it was really, really good group. Really loved talking to everyone. I have been to different meetups for different Disney World fan communities or podcast meetups or, you know, just different configurations of people that happen to like Disney World. And they've always been a little bit awkward and, you know, pretty geeky. And I've had this feeling that the people that I talk to every day through my site or, you know, by email or whatever are just a little less geeky than the people that go to the fan meetups. And that was kind of confirmed. I mean, everybody that came was just incredibly kind. It wasn't awkward at all. And I just really enjoyed seeing you all. So most of you guys are podcast listeners, so thank you for coming. I loved meeting you all in person and getting out from behind the screen, because sometimes it's easy to forget there's actual humans on the other end of the website or the microphone or whatever it is. And so it was really lovely to get together with everyone. It is the third anniversary of the site. I started the site in 2012 for Mother's Day when my husband asked me what I wanted to do that year. I said I wanted to launch a Disney World site, and that's what I did. I'm not going to spend too much time on this particular episode talking about that because I did that a year ago for the second anniversary. I will link to that in the show notes. If you haven't heard that episode, you can go back and sort of listen to, you know, how the site came to be and why I started it. But I did want to read something that I just got by email, and this person's name is Avi, I believe it is, and this is what Avi emailed me. It says, "Thanks for the podcast last year on Mother's Day. Your inspiring podcast from May 2014 pushed me to finally write a curriculum for math. I have been doing research on this topic for 15 years, but kept postponing plans to make a product, books, for sale. My book writing has taken its own momentum, and the product should be out next year. The curriculum is turning out to be far better than I ever imagined. I was underestimating myself all along. Love your blog, got lots of tips for Disney, and we get to go to Disney World often thank you for everything. So I just wanted to share that. I know I get lots of nice emails every day and I don't share them for the most part, but this one I thought was appropriate because she just happened to listen to last year's podcast and was affected by it. And so I just wanted to share that. I think whenever you do things that you're passionate about, it often inspires other people who are passionate about things to pursue those interests. So for that reason, I'm glad I did that podcast last year. Even when I quit my corporate job a couple years ago to just do this site full time, I was worried how my coworkers and my boss were going to react and was really surprised that the reaction was actually more positive than I imagined. They thought, oh, I've always wanted to pursue my dreams. I've always wanted to do my dream job. Good for you for doing it. And so I just think that it's sort of fun to talk about it. And I'm eternally grateful. I had the best job in the whole world. Get to wake up every day and talk about Disney World. I can't imagine anything better than that. So anyway, so it's the 30th anniversary of the site. And that is all I have to say about that. Thank you for being here and making it possible for me to do what I love. I did want to talk about some things today. So as I said in the show title, I've got some tech tips and random bits. I've been sort of just collecting ideas, some tech tips that I thought would be helpful. And so I thought I would just share some of those today and see if they would be helpful. Some of them are very specific to iPhones. In fact, most of them are very specific to iPhones because that's what I have. And I happen to have a 13-year-old who is really, really good at using Apple products and teaches me new things all the time. And so I just wanted to sort of pass those on to you. And I've just collected a few of those ideas today. And then at the end, I will have news and a quick tip of the day that is not a tech tip. It'll be a non-technical quick tip that I'll share at the end of the episode. So let's start with a few of the tech tips that I have gathered today. The first thing is that if you're flying on a trip, could be to Disney World, could be to anywhere else, and you don't want to do a paper boarding pass, which I was using paper printed boarding passes until not too long ago. And then I realized I was the only person in line with a printed boarding pass. So I was feeling silly, particularly considering that I love technology. So I really should be taking advantage of this. So my tip here is to, when you're doing your boarding passes, you can text it to yourself. Most airlines allow you that option. And when you do that, if you have an iPhone, you can click on the text and then it should prompt you to add it to Passbook, which is an app that is on your iPhone and will store different kinds of tickets for you. The benefit to doing this is that you have it saved to your phone, so you don't need an internet connection. You know, if you have a mobile pass that's been texted to you, you still have to have some sort of phone or internet connection to access it. But once it's in Passbook, you don't have to rely on internet connection for that. And two, this is something actually a reader told me about, and I said that I would pass it on. I'm sorry, I forgot the name of the person who shared this with me. But if you load your mobile boarding pass into Passbook, then it will be saved there. And even when your flight is delayed, you won't have any issues accessing it. So if people are relying on mobile boarding passes, meaning that they're just clicking on the text link, that boarding pass will often not appear if your flight is delayed because programmatically it has been set up to not work after the departure. But if you have it saved to your Passbook, then you don't have to worry about that. It will show up. So what happens in this case is that people who are using mobile passes with a delayed flight, they often have to go up to the podium at the gate to get printed passes so that they can board the plane. So my tip is just to make sure that you text your mobile pass to yourself and then click on that link and add it to Passbook just to make things a little less complicated. That is, of course, if you're not going to print them out and use a printed version. But if you want to do digital, this is the way I would recommend it. That's the first thing. The second and third things are both camera related. And these are things that, you know, my son has been on many trips with me before and he'll see me doing something and say, why aren't you using this camera feature? And it's because I didn't know about it until he told me. So the first thing is burst mode. And burst mode is really easy. You know, when you take a picture with your phone and you hold down the button, you push the little round circle to take the picture. Burst mode is just simply holding down that for a long time, and it takes several pictures all at once. So instead of just taking a quick snap, you will hold it down. It will quickly take a whole bunch of pictures, and then afterwards, you can go back and choose one or more of that set that you'd like to keep. This has come in really handy for things that move during trips and like parades, for instance. If you're trying to take a picture of a float that is coming by in a parade, then maybe you would want to use burst mode and then go back and grab one that wasn't blurry, that was at the right angle, etc. Another reason I've used this is to take pictures of the monorail. So I go to the Flower and Garden Festival, which is at Epcot, every spring, about twice a year. And I love to take pictures that include lots of the pretty flowers that are out for the Flower and Garden Festival, the monorail, and the Epcot, you know, icon, the ball. And it's difficult when the monorail is coming by to make sure that you're getting a picture that's really good that includes them all. So the best thing to do is for me to use burst mode. And then I just go back and pick the one that I like the best, where the monorail was at the point that seems the most appealing to me in the pictures, that kind of thing. Another use for burst mode would be if you have children that are very wiggly. And so you want to try to take a picture. But, you know, if you just took one picture, there's a chance that they might be looking the wrong direction. They might have been running around. So if you use burst mode, you can capture them and then pick your favorite of the group. So that's my second tip. My next tip is also camera related, and that is to use the panoramic mode. So when you go into your camera on your phone, there's several options at the bottom. You know, one of them's video, one of them's photo, one of them is panoramic. And I use panoramic a lot when I'm trying to take pictures of the resorts, particularly the moderate resorts, because there's water in the middle of them and they have pretty buildings, pretty landscaping. And so to really capture it all, I use the panoramic mode. And the way that you use panoramic mode is to hold your phone up in portrait mode, and you start on one side, and then there's an arrow on your screen that tells you to move your camera along the line and to hold steady. And then it sort of stitches everything together into one wide shot. And so it's a really good option for me. It's for the resorts, but it might come in handy in several different situations for you. So panoramic is another one. By the way, and for some of these, I'm going to include videos that kind of demonstrate it, because I realize listening to me and trying to get directions that way may not make the most sense, but I'll embed some videos in the show notes so you can play them to get some tips. Okay, so my next tip is about recording video. And my only tip here is to record in landscape mode. I just got home tonight from my son's, he's in band, and they're the same issues at school events as there are at Disney World. And one of them is people have iPads and they're recording, which blocks everybody's view. And another is that lots of people record videos in portrait mode instead of landscape mode. The problem with recording in portrait mode is it only looks good on your phone. That's it. If you want to upload it to Facebook, upload it to YouTube, stream it on your TV, those are all widescreen environments. So the best thing is just to move your phone into landscape mode and take your videos that way. Just as a side note, the lady next to me at the band thing tonight was crying, taking a video of her son. I think it must have been his last performance of junior high, middle school. And so it was a sentimental moment for her because it's the end of his time there, and her camera ran out of space. So it's important. I've done podcasts about this before, but I really, really recommend watching your storage. And I use the Dropbox app on my phone so that things automatically get uploaded to Dropbox, and then I can easily clear my camera roll without worrying about deleting or losing any items because it's already been uploaded to Dropbox. So if you're doing video with your phone, be careful, because those obviously take up a lot of space very quickly. And the lady that was in tears tonight, who was, by the way, recording in portrait mode, but she ran out of space. And so she kind of lost the sentimental moment that meant a lot to her. Okay, so my last tip has nothing to do with phones, but it does have something to do with people who use Gmail as their email. And the tip is this: you have your Gmail email address, and you can add a plus something just before the at sign, and it'll come to you. So here's an example. Let's say my Gmail account was shannonalbert@gmail.com. It's not, by the way. It's the only Shannon Albert thing I don't own. I've got all the social media accounts. I've got the domain name. I have everything, Facebook, everything, but not Gmail. So this is purely hypothetical. But let's say it was shannonalbert@gmail.com. And I was planning a Disney trip for the first time, signed up for a bunch of different Disney-related emails. I could give my email address to all these Disney sites as Shannon Albert plus Disney, the plus sign, plus Disney at gmail.com. And the reason that that is helpful is, well, there's a few reasons, but one of them is that you can then go into Gmail and set up filters. So anything that comes into Shannon Albert plus Disney at gmail.com will automatically go to a Disney folder. So if you want to keep all your plan information in one place, then that's a way to do it. Anything that you add after the plus sign will work. And another way is if you're doing a lot of like online shopping, or you're not sure if your email address is being sold to other sites, you could use a plus sign for that as well. So let's say I ordered flowers for my mom for Mother's Day, and I wasn't sure if the site was going to sell my email. You could do Shannon Albert plus whatever word, flowers at gmail.com. And then if that site happens to sell your email address, they're going to sell it like that, Shannon Albert plus flowers at gmail.com. And it could result in spam coming into your email box. So then you could set up a filter to automatically trash anything that comes to that email address, which will filter out a large amount of spam from that could come as a result of them selling your email address. I don't know. Does this make sense? I hope it does. I love this tip. It really allows you to categorize things without getting new email addresses. I have about 22,000 people on my email address. And so I see a lot of different email addresses. And one interesting thing is that people set up new email addresses just for their trips. So their email address might be johnsonfamilywdw2015@yahoo.com or whatever. But if you use this method with Gmail, you can keep your same address, just add plus signs to sort of categorize it. And then you can filter and do things with it that way. Anyway, so I hope some of that stuff, some of those tech tips have been helpful. And obviously for more information and videos of some of these, you can look in the show notes. I do want to talk about some news items that came up within the last week. First of all, I mentioned previously that the Express Order app is allowing people to order food at Hollywood Studios while watching Fantasmic or at Backlot Express, and this test has been extended. It previously was going to go through May 12th, now it's going through May 18th, and I know this because I just got an email that notified me because I'm going to be there next weekend, and so they were advising me that this test was going through May 18th, so if you're going pretty soon, then be sure to download the Express Order app if you would like to try it out. I definitely will be trying it when I'm there next weekend. Another thing on my list, news item list, is that free dining availability has been popping up lately. So, you know, I mentioned previously free dining was kind of a debacle. It always is when it's released. But it has had random openings popping up the last few days. And so if you previously struggled to get it, I would just go ahead and check again because it appears that there is some availability that has opened up. So try that if you can. Also, I didn't write this down, but I just remembered it. There is a early fall promotion that just came out, and I haven't seen anybody discussing it except me. So I'm not sure, you know, why that is. But basically, it's a room... It's equivalent to the summer promotion, which gives you a discount on your rooms. But if you weren't able to get free dining, you're going in early fall, look at the promotion on the special offers page on the Disney World site and see if that will work for you. If free dining didn't work for you, maybe this other discount for late fall, I mean early fall, will. Just something to check out because it has less restrictions or fewer restrictions and I think more dates included. My last news item is that Disney just announced that beginning May 14th, you can order park packs, which are mystery boxes that they send you containing items, many items even that are exclusive to only the people who have purchased these park packs. So interesting thing that right before Disney made this announcement, I had spent 3 days researching how to do this for myself. I found a source for custom boxes. I found a vendor that could put all of these different items together and do a subscription box service because I love subscription box services. Like I do Stitch Fix for my clothes and things like that. So I thought, oh, that'd be fun to have a Disney World planning subscription box and, you know, maybe set that up. So I had spent 3 days researching it, and then Disney announces this, which is obviously going to be better. It has exclusive things that you can't get anywhere else. So it's hard to compete with that. But their mystery boxes, they're going to cost $39.95, and they will be sent out the first Thursday of every month, and ordering begins on May 14th. I believe the theme of the first one is about pin trading. And so there'll be some exclusive pins that you can't get anywhere else. And so it seems like it's going to be a really fun option for people that want to get some items on a regular basis at home. And I love the mystery part of it because, you know, you just never know what you're going to get. So it's kind of a fun idea. I'm still not giving up on my mystery box idea though. I want to do it somehow, but, Disney's definitely jumped in that game. All right. So that's it for news for this week. And then I just have a quick tip of the day before wrapping up. And my quick tip is to take a spare bag in your luggage when you go to Disney World, because that spare bag will likely come in handy for a few things. One is as a pool bag. You know, a lot of times when you're packing at home, you don't remember that you might want a bag just to go to the pool or to the water park. And so it's helpful for that. Two is on your departure day, if you plan to go to the parks, but you don't want to take everything with you, it's helpful to have an extra bag to leave with luggage services. You know, we check our bags in at the remote airline check-in desk at the resort. And then we also have some other things that we want to carry on the plane, but we don't want to take into the parks. So this spare bag allows us to gather those things and take it to luggage services. The third way that you could use it is for souvenirs. And, you know, you might come home with a lot more things than you go with. And so it's helpful to have a bag that you can put souvenirs in. The bag that I usually use is a monogrammed woven beach bag, and it's helpful for all these things. Also, I used it for laundry. You know, I needed to do a load of laundry on my last trip, and so I took my spare bag, I put all the dirty clothes in it, and that allowed me to go without hauling, you know, a cheap plastic bag that I found in my room or my big luggage. It was just a handy little bag to take everything with. So that's my tip, is to take a spare bag that might come in handy in lots of situations. I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on the show, you can visit wwwprepschool.com/episode89. That is the number 89. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.